Abercrombie, Bob Marone for Westchester Talk Radio. And once again, we are with our friends from High Power. Welcome to the broadcast, podcast, videocast, all of the above. And we're fortunate once again to have Richard Fulham back with us today. He is the Chief Investment Officer and Partner at High Power Westchester. Good to see you, sir. Welcome back after our great discussion with Ron Kamen of Earthkind Energy. I want to further the conversation around clean energy and its relationship to ESG investing. What is it?
Yeah, no, I appreciate it, Bob. Great to see you as usual. Great conversation with Ron. I think, you know, there's a lot of parallels to what he discussed and kind of how it relates to our world of kind of ESG investing. You know, the tangible benefits of kind of investing in the space, you know, kind of start with the dollars and cents, right? What you're seeing when it comes to public markets, you know, whether it's stocks or bonds or private, you know, more illiquid investments, you're ultimately trying to get a return. You know, on the private side, you get, you know, more direct deals, whether it's a green bond or energy bond kind of issuance, funding a project, you know, or you're buying equity in a company or things of that nature. It's an easier look through. You can kind of obviously see the tangible aspects of what you're investing in, where with the public markets, you know, investing in larger companies, there's a lot of a nuance there. But, you know, what I think Earthkind is doing is obviously more in your business, in your home, which is a little more tangible. You can feel it, right? Whereas on the investment side, there's similar impacts and outcomes. It's just, you know, you're seeing more line items. And I think the goal is to obviously see that trickle down from an attribution standpoint, which we'll get to in a minute.
Starting with the investment side, how do you measure tangible benefits, my friend?
Yeah. And this is the big kind of elephant in the room for the space, right? When we sit down with clients, whether they're invested along kind of these ESG criterias or more traditional investments, the meetings so far in today's kind of world are very similar, right? It's you're sitting down, you're talking dollars and cents, you're talking percentage or dollar returns. But what ultimately I think the goal of this industry is to dig a little deeper, right? From an attribution standpoint, which, you know, attribution is really just an attempt to kind of quantify and analyze aspects of, you know, investment solutions and decisions. So in other words, what's driving the return? Is it stock selection? Is it the style, the strategy? Is it the ESG criteria? You know, when it comes to ESG, you know, a classic kind of question is, you know, how much electricity or how much water, you know, did I save through this investment? You know, we'll get that from time to time. But the space isn't quite there yet. It's really hard to get, you know, full transparency into dollar for dollar, you know, what your investment's done from those lenses. But it really does come down to the data. And I think providers are starting to get more visibility into the benefits that your investing dollars have completed and accomplished. And I think when you look through, particularly when it comes to ESG scores, so there's ratings out there. There's several ratings agencies that will give you, you know, globes or stars or this or that. And the question always comes down to, okay, like what's the better way of looking at this, right? Is it industry avoidance? So, you know, kind of sector allocation, avoiding fossil fuels, or is it, you know, maybe selecting more sustainable firms within an industry, right? Whether it's, you know, security selection, right? Having a couple heavy hitters, so to speak. You know, so you can have, you know, to use an example, an exclusionary fund, which is emitting, you know, maybe emitting the highest carbon emitters out there. Or are you looking for a couple of companies that are looking to get more towards kind of net zero? And I think there's really no right or wrong answer. It's, you know, just further analysis and transparency. And I think this is, you know, getting that industry standard is going to be crucial going forward. But, you know, like I said, you know, there's other aspects of this too, outside of just dollars and cents. There's the, you know, kind of there's proxy voting, right? Where companies will vote on behalf of their investors, whether it's on a social and governance side of our boards and things of that nature. But I think in the future, the goal is to shift away from these kind of regular client meetings where it's like, oh, hey, you were invested green or, you know, through this ESG criteria and you were up 6% or 10% last year. No, I think that's a part of the review, but hopefully we can sit there and say, hey, Bob, you know, you were up 10, but you know, you also saved X amount of kilowatts per hour from the electricity side or clean energy, or, you know, you now are investing in a company that has a diverse board and little things like that, I think, are to come and they're getting there. And I think that will be very important.
Let's take a look at our homes now. And I'll use the term invest. How does one invest on the home side of things, Richard?
Yeah. And you know, obviously, Ron, you know, went through this a little more in depth than I did, but, you know, there's solar, right? There's geothermal, there's clean heating and cooling, there's appliances. But the question all comes is, what's the cost of all of this, right? And I think even today, sitting here, it's still somewhat prohibitive, but it is coming down with the credits and the incentives you see on the state and local, you know, federal level. But, you know, I belong to a lot of networking groups, Bob, and you and I are, you know, BCW colleagues there, you know, just speaking with some local contractors that are members that with that organization. This is the direction people are going, right? When it comes to new builds, you know, whether it's electric stoves, dryers, LED lighting, we all know the smart thermostats have been around a while. So, you know, instead of just the basic on off, you can get a little more energy efficient around, you know, how to heat and cool your home. You know, even my a good friend of mine, a neighbor, I mean, he uses an electric lawnmower. And I was joking with him the other day, he almost ran over the dog as we were kind of walking by because no one knew that the damn thing was on. But anyway, you know, I think outside of the home, right, it's the electric vehicles. I mean, you know, some certain states, I know California is pushing to make, you know, all vehicles electric by, I think, 2035, you know, which is, may seem a little ambitious, but, you know, even having this conversation, I'll never forget, in an old job of mine, sitting on an investment committee, talking about this, this is probably going back, you know, 10 years ago now, 15 years ago. And I'll never forget this one gentleman laughing at my comment about electric vehicles. And here we are, you know, a decade later. And I mean, you can't pull into a parking lot without seeing a Tesla, mm-hmm. right? So it's here to stay and only increasing.
Okay, now we go into, and I'm going to be listening, so will our listeners and viewers, very carefully. ESG investing, that it's necessary, it's real, it happens, but it's very new to a lot.
Yeah.
Educate us, please.
So sure. So it, yeah, you know, one of the sectors that has been, you know, we can really see the tangible benefit is the real estate space, right? It's a real asset, right? You can see and feel what ESG criteria built into a building kind of looks like. You know, when it comes to real estate, right, you're looking for energy savings, that net zero, you know, particularly in the commercial world, but you get the property certifications like the LAED, there's the neighbors and things of that nature. So those are all kind of getting integrated into new and existing properties. And you're seeing it all over the world. I'll give you an example, and this is coming from CBRE, a publication from January 3rd of last year. It's the City Square Mall in Singapore. All their tenants agreed to sign these lease agreements to adopt green practices on the premise. There's a kind of auto lighting in escalators and car parks, so it's not necessarily on all the time. There's kind of high efficiency air conditioning and technology that kind of help moderate, obviously, temperature. But all of these little things help save energy and kind of limit the emissions. And the numbers are staggering. I mean, you know, again, these are all a little bit more test cases, but you're seeing that more and more. And when you look at just construction in general, there's green construction materials. I mean, people are using bamboo now, cork. I mean, it may sound funny, but I mean, bamboo grows like a weed. There are people reclaiming steel, wood. There's plant-based foams for sealants. The concrete now, I think it's called precast concrete. It's kind of got holes somewhat in the middle, similar in terms of its, you know, structure and rigidness, but, allows more for heat variability and all these different things. So contractors are ultimately saying, hey, like, yeah, all right, with costs coming down, this can help alleviate, you know, and make a home more energy efficient, which is more attractive to buyers at the end of the day. So that kind of effective kind of risk and cost management you're seeing in buildings all over the world, it really helps the bottom line. I mean, this isn't stuff to feel, yeah, all right, it makes you feel good, you're doing better for the environment. But, you know, as we know, the world's driven by money to a large extent. We won't talk about what's going on in the golf world, but that's a whole nother podcast here. But, you know, dollars and cents you know, on the bottom line can help buildings and help, you know, P&Ls. So I think people are definitely, you know, their ears are up and are paying attention.
You know, Richard, every day we see in the newspapers and on television changes to and or legislation impacting climate. A lot of it. How does that trickle down? How does that affect?
Yeah, so the IRA or the Inflation Reduction Act was came into law, you know, whatever it was last year, I believe, the year before. And according to the New York Times, a publication that was published just this past May 30th here of this year, since that came into law, there's 31 new battery manufacturing projects, which is more than I think the prior 4 years combined. And it's enough to support manufacturing on 10 to 13 million electric vehicles per year by 2030. And then on the energy production side, companies have announced, I think it was almost 100 gigawatts of new clean power over the last 8 months, which is more than the total investment in clean power plants from, I think, 2017 to 21. That equates to, I think it was nearly $20 million. It would power 20 million homes. So this is all like front and center, right? This is all occurring right now. So I think, you know, the question is, okay, so this stuff's into law. There's a big push, but there's still a lot of legislative red tape, as there is with anything. And I think it needs to be easier to start and build these projects. Listen, anything new, and you know, we're seeing in the crypto world, right? I mean, all these companies are being sued from the SEC. There is usually a lot of hurdles to get through till this thing's kind of commoditized and democratized. And I think we're on the right path here. Costs are still coming down, but you know, you want to build. And you know, the one thing I was reading too is not just here domestically or potentially locally here in Westchester. You know, Europe is way ahead of us on a lot of these fronts. So, you know, you want to build allies and kind of have that commonality across the pond to either pick up on best ideas or best practices, but also see legislatively what they're doing and how to, you know, streamline a lot of these projects.
Europe is that much far ahead of us. They did the same thing with cell phone development too.
Sure, sure.
Bringing all of this together now, Richard, how should investors pursue or attack this space?
Yeah, and it's a great question. I think we do a decent job, but not a great enough job. Here at Hightower, and I think a lot of advisors would say the same, is educating people on the space. And I think, Bob, you know, I mean, you can probably attest to this, you know, you might have known about the space, but did you really know about the space, right, when it comes to the nuts and bolts of how it operates? So I think, you know, education is a big part of it, right? Whether it's in your home or in your portfolio, is talking to clients and prospects about how you can implement these practices across your life. And your dollars. And I think marrying the two makes sense, right? From an investment standpoint, as well as in your home or your business. You know, like we saw in our previous podcast, I mean, there are energy consultants out there. There are contractors that you and I know, as I mentioned, that implement these types of builds, and practices where, you know, it's much like, listen, you know, you go to the doctor because you need something fixed, right? You go to the dentist if you need something with your teeth. I think it's kind of the same here, right? It's like, why attack this on your own? Get the right team in place. But, you know, ultimately it comes down to you and your values, right? There's no right or wrong answer here. You know, people sometimes don't have to look at this and say, hey, listen, I'm going to dump all of my money into a green energy water fund. It's like, is that prudent? So there's a fiduciary responsibility behind it for us to say, hey, yes, you know, this might make sense for you and your values, but hey, we have to be prudent about how we invest your dollars and what makes the most sense from a diversification standpoint, and an investment standpoint. So, but I think, you know, as the interest grows and we're seeing it, you know, there's likely going to be more commoditization and standards built into the space. I mean, you're looking at, you know, senators and governors like asking for more regulatory, you know, developments on this front, whether it comes to the climate, or investing. So I think, you know, we'll know more and we'll probably be back here doing another video cast in a couple of years talking about the developments here. But I think, you know, we're on the right path and things are moving in the right direction.
You know, this has been terrific. Once again, Richard, thank you very, very much. He's Richard Farrar, who's the Chief Investment Officer and a partner at Hightower Westchester. Thank you very, very much for your time once again.
Thank you, Bob.
I'm
good seeing you.
From Westchester Talk Radio. Have a great day, Richard.
Hightower Westchester is a group of investment professionals registered with Hightower Securities, LLC, member FINRA and SIPC, and with Hightower Advisors, LLC, a registered investment advisor with the SEC. Securities are offered through Hightower Securities, LLC. Advisory services are offered through Hightower Advisors, LLC. This is not an offer to buy or sell securities. No investment process is free of risk, and there is no guarantee that the investment process or the investment opportunities referenced herein will be profitable. Past performance is not indicative of current or future performance and is not a guarantee. The investment opportunities referenced herein may not be suitable for all investors. All data and information referenced herein are from sources believed to be reliable. Any opinions, news, research, analyses, prices, or other information contained in this research is provided as a general market commentary. It does not constitute investment advice. Hightower Westchester and Hightower shall not in any way be liable for claims and make no expressed or implied representations or warranties as to the accuracy or completeness of the data and other information, or for statements or errors contained in or omissions from the obtained data and information referenced herein. The data and information are provided as of the date referenced. Such data and information are subject to change without notice. This podcast was created for informational purposes only. The opinions expressed are solely those of Hightower Westchester and do not represent those of Hightower Advisors LLC or any of its affiliates. Hightower Advisors do not provide tax or legal advice. This material was not intended or written to be used or presented to any entity as tax advice or tax information. Tax laws vary based on the client's individual circumstances and can change at any time without notice. Clients are urged to consult their tax or legal advisor before establishing a retirement plan.